Three, two, one.
On July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin stepped off a lunar module and onto the surface of the Earth's moon for the very first time. Neil Armstrong's voice was immortalized in that moment as he uttered the words, "That's one small step
for man, one giant leap for mankind."
A few hours before this milestone was marked, while still inside the lunar module, Buzz Aldrin invited those who were listening in from every nation to, quote, pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way. And then the radio went silent. What the citizens of Earth didn't know at the time was that astronaut Buzz Aldrin had purposely planned this radio blackout in order to eat a small meal. From within a flight packet, he withdrew a piece of bread and wine for which he had received permission to bring on the spacecraft. And then, after reading from the Gospel of John, he proceeded to take communion. In the middle of a conversation between the heavens and the earth, only Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong were there to witness the Last Supper as the First Supper on the moon. Jason Daiba, and you're listening to the Passion Podcast, where I get to talk to artists, speakers, and culture makers who have focused their lives on the fame of Jesus. Today I'm talking to Ryan McCormick, the creative pastor of Passion City Church. Ryan is one of the behind-the-scenes personnel who helps pull off some of the most memorable moments of Passion Conference, including one instance where he helped connect a conversation between the Earth and space.
So for Passion 2017, we were in the Georgia Dome, which has now been torn down. Yeah. RIP Georgia Dome. Mercedes-Benz is awesome, though. The new stadium's incredible.
Yeah,
but, you
is.
Know, we have like this nostalgic connection to the Georgia Dome. But Passion 2017, we were in the Georgia Dome and had over 55,000 college students in the Georgia Dome, which is just it's one of those statements that you can't quite imagine the visual picture. When someone says you're in the Georgia Dome and there's 55,000 college students gathered there to lift up the name of Jesus, like that is just you have to at some point walk in and experience that and feel that. There's just not an accurate picture for it.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing event and really amazing time. And it was amazing to see how Jesus moved in that. And I always tell a lot of people, you know, one of the highlights for me at Passion 2017 was we actually got to talk to Shane Kimbrough, an astronaut, during the conference.
Like a video of him or?
Like him on the International Space Station. And we were able to do like a video conferencing chat with him.
In real time. That's incredible.
Which was just mind blowing. And to be able to have that conversation with him was really, really special. And it was in the moment, you could just feel the whole room is like gasping.
Yeah.
This is space. This is real.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really cool moment. And it was one of those that you're like, it's not every day that, you know, something in my job butts up against NASA.
Yeah.
And you're interfacing with literal rocket scientists, you know, and you're actually like, that's just not a normal thing, right? You know?
Yeah. So how does that even come about? Like, so you're the creative pastor and you're, I assume, in the room when these kind of ideas get thrown out there. I mean, what do you even do with an idea like that?
With an idea like that, you know, you regulate your first reaction, which is this panic that kind of can set over. I don't think there's anybody that the first reaction isn't like, okay, deep breaths. How are we going to do this? But I think it's one of those things that, you know, in our world, we get real excited about opportunities like that. We get real excited about like, okay, that's a crazy task. And there's kind of this thing in our DNA that just we get energized by that. We get energized by the impossible ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that moment, you know, your first step when someone says, hey, we want to talk to space, is you go, okay, well, who's my first call?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about space, but I can call somebody that does, or I can get on the worldwide internet and Google it. And I can start, you know, I can take what seems like an impossible task, and I can take the first step on it.
Yeah, I think that's a great leadership lesson for all of us, especially for those of us who aspire to work in a creative field. When you're trying to pull off something amazing, you've got to have the momentum to ask, well, what is step number one?
Yeah, it's the first thing. It's like, okay, instead of being paralyzed by the fear of like, how can I do this? I go, well, what's my first step? What's my first move? And that momentum kind of leads to a process that kind of engages the drive of like, no, we're going to figure this out.
So I remember I was actually sitting in the room, in the dome, watching this moment take place. I remember Pastor Louis Giglio was up on stage. And before the whole thing started, I remember that he was stalling. I think he even said to us at one point that he was stalling for a second. He's like, hey, just a second, we're booting up space. Like, we're turning on the switch, just give us a second. And so just because I've been around production crews before, I know that sometimes that can be code for something isn't working right.
I have no idea what you're talking about. We would never do such a thing.
So what was happening in that moment?
So in the moment, we had this connection with NASA that we had set up. Things were going well. We had tested it multiple times throughout the day. You know, we were very like, we got to test it again. Things were rock solid. They were great.
Yeah.
One of the phenomenons when you're communicating with somebody in space, just as a helpful note, there are times of the day where they can't actually communicate with the space station because of the position of the moon and where it is on its orbit around the Earth.
Yeah.
There's all these crazy scientific things that happen there that there's particular times where you can't actually communicate.
Okay.
And they kind of are these, you know, unpredictable moments where it happens. And so we're all set up. We know that, okay, we're going to regain communication at this point, and then we've got a limited period of time in which we can actually make the connection point happen. So we're approaching our window, like our assigned window of here's where NASA's going to, you know, angle their satellites, and we're going to be able to make this connection.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we've got video. We have no audio.
Oh, my.
We can see him. He can see us. He can't hear us. We can't hear him. And so we're sitting there going, this isn't working. It's not working. We're trying other things. Try this patch. Try this thing. We're like scrambling. Someone is side stage next to Pastor Lou going, hey, we don't have it. And if you know anything about Pastor Louis, space is like one of his biggest passions in life. And I can tell you, this was not going to be one of those that was going to be, oh, cool, don't worry about it. This was going to be like, no, this needs to happen. We have got to make this happen. We have leveraged a lot to make this space connection happen.
This is a literal Houston. We have a problem.
I think that may have actually been said over calm at some point, like, hey, Houston, we actually do have a problem.
The one line you were waiting to say.
Everybody's waiting for it.
Your whole life.
Yes.
This is Houston. Say again, please. Houston, we've had a problem.
And so in that moment, people are scrambling on our end. NASA is scrambling on their end, and they were able to, they're kind of like resetting their systems, resetting their connections. So we lose the video for a minute, and all of a sudden it's kind of booting back up. We're not seeing it. Well, Louis is wearing a microphone that has like an earpiece, and all of a sudden Louis can hear Shane. And he goes, you know, hey, Shane, can you hear me? And Shane's like, yes, I can hear you. And they're kind of talking privately back and forth just on his earpiece. And all of a sudden Louis is like, okay, we're taking it. We're going with it. We have just barely seen this thing come back on yet. And then all of a sudden, Louis goes on stage and goes, hey, we're ready to link up with Shane. And we press the button, and all of a sudden it pops up. And we see Shane on the screen. We're like, okay, step one. And all of a sudden, Louis goes, hey, Shane, it's Louis and Passion. Can you hear us? And we pause. He goes,
I can hear you.
And it's like, touchdown. I mean, you can't.
Incredible.
I like to think that that's kind of, you know, winning the national championship kind of euphoric experience of going, it actually happened. And it was a really incredible moment.
When we come back, Ryan McCormick recalls getting another branch of the federal government to sign off on a prop for summer camp. This is the Passion Podcast. Stay with us.
Hey everyone, it's Brett Yonker. And if you're an 18 to 25 year old, I want to invite you to Passion Conference. It's one of the most unique gatherings of university age students in all the earth. If you're a leader of 18 to 25 year olds, you're invited too. It's remarkable to see what God is doing among young people in this generation. All the dates, location, details are at 268generation.com.
I remember about 6 months before Passion 2017, before the live call with Space, you and I were both at Passion Camp, which is a summer camp for middle school and high school students. And on the first night of Passion Camp that year, Pastor Louis Giglio was on stage again speaking, and he called up a man in a bear suit, which I wasn't aware he was going to do. And then he called on stage an actual bear, like a full-grown, living, breathing bear, which I also wasn't aware he was going to do. What was the point of all that?
At Passion Camp, we've had this thing called the Chaos Bear, which was the man in the bear suit. Basically, it was the hype bear. When this bear would come on stage, people would lose their mind and cheer and go nuts. It was just a kind of a piece that we had incorporated into our morning kind of like crazy game, you know, mode. And the bear would jump out. There would be this crazy dance track that would come on and everybody would kind of like lose their mind. And so it kind of became like this like almost camp icon of the Chaos Bear. He runs out. He goes nuts. People have fun. And so at some point, Louis had this idea of, hey, what if we had a real bear? And he had this amazing illustration about going, so it's kind of like a lot of people in life, they've put on the Christian suit in life.
Yeah.
So that you're not an imposter in a Christian suit or a church suit, but you're actually born in a new relationship with God.
And he kind of said, you know, it's very obvious when you're, you know, when you have the two on stage, this is very clearly a man in a bear suit. Mm-hmm. No one is fooled. This is a man in a bear suit.
Yeah.
In the same sense, no one is fooled that this is a real bear. Literally, yeah. Nobody was going, I wonder if that's animatronic. Everyone's kind of going, I'm scared for my life. That is a real bear. Why is it in this room?
Yeah. I remember the moment that bear first came out. People were gasping and like white knuckling. Yes. It was like, this thing could eat us.
Yes.
In real time.
Yeah. And it's this, but what an amazing story.
Yeah.
And so Louis had this idea of like, well, what if we get this real bear? And we have the two comparison there. And then it can be this amazing point that just kind of just solidifies in so many students. Like, hey, are you just putting on the Jesus suit? Or have you actually been transformed by Jesus? And so it's an amazing point. Just a really challenging prop to get for a message.
So how many months did you have like to work on this? It was a lot of planning that must have gone into that.
Well, you would think. This was more of a, hey, Friday afternoon going into a weekend before we need it on Monday night.
Oh, my goodness.
Kind of timeline that we were working off of.
Okay. So then how does that even happen? Like, where do you find a bear in a weekend in Daytona Beach, Florida?
Well, my first thing was, okay, I know it can't be a wild bear. I deduced that much.
Well, that's one thing.
That was step one. Cannot be a wild bear. So step two had to be, okay, well, where can you get a non-wild bear or a domesticated bear or a trained bear?
Okay.
My next step, the movie industry.
Okay.
Hey, does anyone know any on-set animal trainers or animal handlers that work primarily in the movie industry? And that led to one contact, and they're like, well, we have kangaroos, we have zebras. This person I talked to actually had a white tiger. So I'm still kind of like working through all these things. I was like, looking for a bear.
Yeah,
Looking for bear. Really need bear. And so we kind of go through, I went through probably two or three contacts before I got in touch with this handler that actually had bears. And that was actually the only thing they had. They actually said they had like, I think 16 or 17 bears or something.
Oh my goodness.
So got a hold of them. They were open to the idea, but they kind of gave me a scavenger hunt per se of all the different like government agencies that would have to sign off on this.
Oh, because you can't just rent a bear.
No. apparently they're highly regulated. If you can imagine having a bear highly regulated, but apparently that's a very highly regulated process. And so, I mean, I from that conversation, I was talking to Florida Fish and Wildlife Association and all their local offices, because this event was in Florida. So I'm still in Atlanta at this point, calling ahead. I had to talk to all the different insurance carriers, because they're going, who in the world is going to insure a live bear in a room with, you know, 4,000 middle and high school kids?
Yeah, yep.
Surprisingly enough, the FDA is involved, which I don't fully understand what the FDA has to do with bears.
They're involved with everything.
They're involved with everything. But I had calls into the agricultural department, the state department, and then the FDA. And that was kind of honestly where we hit the, that was where we hit about the seventh no that felt like was going to be the one that was like, yeah, we're not getting past this one. And
this is all in one weekend.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is a lot happening in a weekend. Yeah. It was a very busy Monday. I put out a lot of calls on Friday. Didn't get much activity on Saturday or Sunday. Just got a few responses here and there. But then Monday was really the, okay, let's see if we can make it happen.
So I guess the question I want to ask then, with all those steps to get a bear on stage for middle schoolers and high schoolers for one night at camp, is why all the trouble? Like, why do we pour so much creative effort into a moment like that? What's the angle?
I mean, I think the angle in all of this is it's twofold. One, I think if you follow the story in the life of Jesus, you see a lot of times the people around him had to do some pretty outrageous things. There's a passage in Matthew 21 where Jesus just says, hey, go to this village. There's a donkey and her colt there. Just take them. And if anybody asks, just say that I said to do it. And then there's these moments we're in where the disciples are having to feed these, you know, groups of people randomly. It's like, hey, well, why don't you feed them? And it's like these crazy moments that happen that they seem like kind of outrageous and crazy.
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't there a better plan than this? Yeah.
You're not the first one who's been told to go find an animal.
Right. Yeah. This wasn't new. This was, you know, I'm just continuing the line of the disciples here. But what I think is the message behind this and the why behind all of this is we do the outrageous things because we believe there's an extraordinary gospel.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Paul said, is I've become all things to all people so that I might win some. And so to me, as kind of on the nose as it is, if what it takes for someone to put their faith in Jesus and to experience Jesus is to have a real bear on stage so that they'll get this visual burned into their mind, that they will all forever go, no, I don't want to just have the Jesus suit on. I actually want to have a transformational experience with Jesus. Then absolutely, it's worth it.
Yeah.
The weight of the gospel far outweighs the weight of the request. And so that's kind of the why behind it all. It's not, yes, it's fun, and yes, it's crazy, and it's this adventure, and it produces amazing stories to retell. But at the end of the day, we are retelling the most amazing story of it all. And so that's really the justification behind it, and that's really the motivation behind it, and that's what drives us to go, we're going to take these outrageous things because we believe that the gospel is truly extraordinary.
You can see the live bear and watch the full talk from Passion Camp just by going to YouTube and searching for Passion Camp 2016. Today's episode of the Passion Podcast was produced by myself with engineering help from John Duke. If you want to know more about Passion, then come check us out at 268generation.com or follow us on Instagram at Passion268. If you're a fan of this podcast, you can help us get the word out by subscribing on iTunes and leaving us a review. And as always, thanks for listening to the Passion Podcast.